光临，祝你晚安。
美国大选进入最后冲刺阶段。
You must vote Republican. You have to vote Republican.
We're going to beat this virus, and we're going to get it under control.
至少93,000,000选民完成投票，美国大选提前投票人数创下历史记录。
When I was younger, I grew up in China.
美国之音深度解析华人参选。四位曾参选美国政治选举的华人表示，此次大选意义重大。11月2号星期一，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我是卡拉。距离美国大选投票日还有2天的时间，已经有至少9,300,000名的选民完成了提前投票。特朗普星期天连续到访5个州，而拜登则选择前往宾夕法尼亚和佛罗里达州。此外，星期六，美国特种部队从尼日利亚成功的救出被绑架的美国人。下面请看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
特朗普在星期天的一早就搭乘空军号前往密歇根州，开始了忙碌的5个州竞选行程。同机随行的还有白宫幕僚长梅多斯、白宫国安顾问奥布莱恩以及总统资深顾问伊万卡跟库什纳。那么除了密歇根州之外呢，特朗普星期天的行程还包括了爱奥瓦州、北卡罗来纳州、佐治亚州、佛里达州。那么预计呢，今晚将会下榻于佛州的特朗普度假中心。而民主党的候选人拜登星期天上午先在德拉瓦州的白兰地罗马天主教堂望弥撒，然后前往宾夕法尼亚州造势。拜登他是天主教徒。下午拜登前往宾州的费城跟宗教领袖还有选民会面，之后举办选民的汽车集会，晚上则参加了选举的募款活动。那么根据纽约时报报道呢，特朗普的竞选阵营安排在大选之夜于白宫的东厅举办派对，预计会有400人参加。原本呢，特朗普竞选总部要选择在华盛顿市的特朗普国际大酒店，但是因为新冠疫情影响，华盛顿市目前处于 CDC 的重新开放第二阶段，并不允许50人以上的集会。此外，根据路透社的报道，美国特种部队星期六在尼日利亚北部成功的救出被绑架的美国人沃尔顿，美国军人在行程当中没有受伤。特朗普总统在推特上说呢，我国向本次夜间营救人质行动的英勇士兵致敬，并且欢庆另外一位美国公民的回归。以上是美国军白宫记者黄阳毅的报道。
特朗普总统将11月1号定为全国纪念日，纪念被非法移民杀害的美国人。他4年前竞选时曾经承诺要修建一道南方的边界墙。今年总统辩论时，他再一次谈到了这一点。来看美国之音的报道。
格兰德河是美国和墨西哥之间的天然界限，对某些人来说，它是非正式的门户，而对其他人来说，则是一个战场。
We continue to see.Narcotics attempting to come into the country, as well as the smuggling of weapons and ammunition out of the country. These are criminal organizations that claim ownership of part of the territory that they smuggle people or contraband through.
在德克萨斯州的拉雷多，在这个责任区的270多公里，人力资源是一个挑战。
We rely on kind of the balance of personnel, technology, and infrastructure.
在特朗普政府执政前，沿着3000多公里的南部边界线上，已经有一些基础设施或有形的障碍物存在。当年的总统候选人唐纳德·特朗普在他的竞选活动中也承诺在边界筑一道墙。
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border.
2016年的超级星期二，当选民挑选自己党派的候选人时，特朗普谈到他要建多少墙。
We need 1,000 miles.And we have all of the materials. We can do that so beautifully.
在2020年最后一次的总统辩论，特朗普提出这个更新的信息。
We're over 400 miles of brand new wall.
海关和边境保护局代理局长马克·摩根在辩论的次日讨论了边界墙。
We're almost at 400 miles. I think we'll be there in a week or 10 days. And then again, by the end of this calendar year, I'm confident we're going to be at the 450-mile mark. And then currently, right now,the president has acquired funding, given us funding for a combined total of 730 miles.
摩根说，造墙资金大约150亿美元，来自多重来源，包括国土安全部和国防部。其中130亿美元获得国会授权， 总统运用大部分资金的权利目前在法庭受到挑战，还在等待最高法院的裁决。
He has no authority to spend money that Congress hasn't given him.
摩根说，目前工程仍在进行，如红色所标出的，有些沿着南方边界的新墙取代现有的障碍物，其余的则在还没有障碍物存在的地方建造，例如在拉雷多。除了带有照明技术和通道的新墙系统外，还使用了其他技术。这个监视设备就是一个例子，它运用了多层次的人工智能来观察结果。到底会修建多少公里的新墙，将取决于最高法院的裁决以及总统选举的结果。美国之音记者李爱玲报道。
From a vaccine, and we're going to give the vaccine.
We're going to beat this virus, and we're going to get it under control.
四位曾经在美国参与政治选举的华人选民表示，这一次选举攸关美国未来数十年的走向，呼吁选民不要小看手中的选票。
Spike in.
And he wants to raise everybody's taxes.
2020, 那我假如没有新冠事情发生的话，我本来的话还是一如既往的，那个支持川普总统，那个投票给川普总统。那个新冠来了之后呢，我们也的的确确看到川普总统的短板，就是可以说。新冠事件无限扩大了川普总统的执政上的一些短处，所以在这种情况下，在特别是在美国，在确诊人数和那个死亡人数高居全世界第一的那个情况之下，我觉得我们需要有一个新的、全新的领导力。
觉得美国是一个在一个十字路口。继续在这个我们的自由市场经济依法治国这样的美国的建国原则下走呢，还是走向这个社会主义变成个墨西哥或者南非这样的国家，所以这个是非常重要的。所以我觉得呢，我们还是希望美国呢要继续走在美国它的就是它的 founding father 它的国父所奠定这个基础之上。
And as an Asian American, I also feel that it's important becauseYou know, the president has engaged in some really racist behavior, calling the coronavirus the China flu. And we've seen an uptick in just violent behavior, extremist groups, right-wing groups here in America, and an uptick in anti-Asian behavior. You know, a lot of Asian Americans, have experienced racist behavior. And I think this all stems from the top.
这个不是说谁的政策对美国更好，这个有已经是我们还要不要这个国家，就是就这么大的一个反差了。我们现在可以看到各种各样的打砸抢，各种各样的言论自由的打压，这个已经不是我们来美国投奔美国的时候的美国了。
家父在中国的时候受到文革受到迫害，对吧？我家庭受到了非常大的打击，就是那种极度的贫困。我来到美国了，我感受到了就是美国这么优秀的建国原则，所以呢，我是就是要捍卫这些建国原则。
在今后，就是特别是今后四年吧，我觉得这个怎么从疫情怎么能够解放出来，怎么能够结束这个疫情，怎么能够让生活作为一个恢复，或者咱们从这次，因为毕竟这是对我们全人类，也对美国来说也是一个重击。
我最在意的还是这个整个国家的 structure， 因为你这个 economy 好点坏点大家都能过得下去。美国的宪法现在已经是岌岌可危了，宪法说有言论自由，如果我们现在拼命打杀言论自由，那这个框架就没有了。一旦没有言论自由，真相就不可能传播。
It's really important that we improve our standing and that we rebuild these alliances that we used to have and that we go afterthe dictators and call them out when they need to be called out, because America is a beacon of hope. And that beacon has to be shining from the highest office of the land.
我很高兴看到美国现在就是从民众到政府到政客到两党都开始对中共强硬。美国自己国内有问题，但是中共是最大的外敌，最大的强敌。现在中共是把自己的血管根盘错节的渗到美国的心脏里面，牢牢的抓住了。对不对？你把它砍掉，你自己也会失很多血。其实我觉得中共比苏联更能对付。而且美国需要更大的决心。
And then when it suits him to appease his base supporters, he calls, you know, the coronavirus the Wuhan virus. So his policy's all over the place. And then in terms of trade, this trade war, you know, fighting a trade war without a real plan is damaging. It's damaging to our economy. We depend upon a lot of exports to China.And in the heartland, a lot of agriculture exports have been damaged. A lot of people who are importing things from China, they've also been hurt. So it's not a very coherent strategy.
在拜登这个是当副总统的时候，他主管中国政策的时候，中国已经成为世界第二经济体，对吧？那时候中国有很多，比如说要那个就知识产权的，就是强制转让啊，搞千人计划，很多事情已经说是在还有巨大的贸易顺差。川普总统呢，虽然做的事情呢，可以说是不是特别温柔吧，但是呢，就是说其实是在维护美国的利益。
我个人觉得无论是拜登也好，无论是川普也好，那这个基本上他们没什么区别。美国把中国作为一个比较最重要的一个竞争力的话，这个我觉得参院也好，众院也好，已经达成了一致的共识。
美国的时候，那时候也有美国民主党、共和党啊，大家都没觉得有什么区别，选举就选举了，谁输了就谁输了，然后选举完了，大家照过自己的日子，也没有说区别到就已经就是身家性命就已经成了问题了。那现在就是这个沟通的管道呢，就是大家都已经互相围堵，我觉得这是非常可怕的一件事情。
There were a lot of people who chose not to vote in 2016.And this is why we have the situation we're in right now. So if you ever have that opportunity to vote, you have to take it, you have to cherish it. Never think that your vote won't matter. It will matter.
觉得呢，建议我们的华人呢，要以一种大的视野来看到这次选举，不要只看到个新冠病毒，只不要看个近微信，你要看就是说整个的经济，就是能力，还有外交内政，对吧？要看还有这一个总统的这个，就是说他的智力，他的决策能力。
这两位可以说都是超人，那个都是为美国做出了他们的应有的贡献。所以我个人觉得，我们作为一个投票人吧，就是美国人，我们当然是有自己的一个选择，有自己的那一个决定，有自己的投票。我觉得，但是我觉得最关键还是要，心平气和、平和的、平静的，在11月3号那个接受选举的结果。
亚裔美国人目前只占美国总人口的5.6%，但已经是增长最快的族裔。权威调查机构皮尤中心的数据显示，当2055年到来时，亚裔将成为美国规模最大的移民群体。从19世纪建造横跨美国大陆铁路线的苦力，到后来所谓的模范少数族裔，历史上亚裔美国人对美国的贡献功不可没，但同时却一直被或多或少地看作是边缘群体，而这在政治领域也不例外。尽管美国国会和各州的立法院里都能够看到越来越多的亚裔面孔，可是亚裔依然被主流社会认为是政治参与度不高的群体。历史学者、专长研究亚裔美国人的印第安纳大学教授艾伦·吴认为，是时候将这个刻板印象抛入历史了。
I do think there's a commonplace assumption that Asian Americans are disinterested in U.S. electoral politics, which I actually do not think is true. I think that's a misplaced assumption. I do actually think that many Asian Americans do care very deeply about political issues, but it is also true that that the voter turnout has not always been as high as we would like to see. And I think that can be attributed in part to the fact that, as you were saying, both the Democrats and the Republicans have not been consistent in terms of outreach, voter outreach to Asian Americans.
一份不久前出炉的专门针对亚裔美国人政治立场的民调显示，亚裔总体上来说更多倾向自我认同为民主党。从这个表格上可以看出，除了越南裔美国人之外，在各个主要的亚裔群体当中，自称是民主党的人都要高于共和党。很有意思的是，在华裔美国人里，规模最大的群体是不参加任何党派的独立人士。吴教授认为，共和党长期以来高调的反共态度对越南裔很有吸引力。此外，包括华人在内的其他来自共产主义威权国家的部分第一代移民，对共和党的好感也在不断上升。
I think because the Republican Party was so anti-communist and very explicit staunch anti-communism was appealing to folks in that community, and so that appeal has remained.
对第一代华裔移民来说，融入一个语言文化都非常不同于自己母国的社会本身就很不容易，参与政治竞选当然需要付出更多努力。不过正有越来越多的华裔移民积极投身地方选举，希望在美国的政治版图中添上他们的一笔。接下来我们将通过一部短片请他们讲述自己的参政故事。
When I was younger, I grew up in China. I don't think we could imagine that we could run for office.
So we've got 63 houses to go.
Whoa.
From my own experience, I, you know, won a lot of the reason to our success was due to block walking. You know, block walking is very important because it's one-on-one. If you get to meet the people, you know, if they open the door, you get the chance to talk to them, and that makes a much stronger impression to the voter.
My journey coming to America started in 1992. When I came to this country, I bring less than $200 in my pocket. This is the first car I owned. I bought it for $1,250, about 13 years old. When I was learning, I damaged it up front, but I had no money to repair.So when I send a picture to my family, you know, I only take the back part. I never took the first part. I did not really want my parents to know my car was damaged. It's really, you know, very humble experience. Very humble experience.
driving all around the world, bought everything from diamond to gold.
When I was a kid, the thing that always stuck in my mind that even, you know, I can hear that voice to this day was a young Hispanic kid who, like, was one of my bullies, and he would always tell me to go back to where I came from. When we first moved here, we lived in Odessa, Texas. And if you don't know Odessa, that is a weird place to go coming from like the third largest city in China to a town of 20,000 people, where literally there were three other Asian families and we all knew each other. I don't think our story coming to the United States is really all that different from any other Asian Americans. It was a struggle. When I was little, you know, I got made fun of because, you know, I couldn't pronounce TH, that I would say thing instead of thing. And it took me years to correct that. And, you know, it was something that the other kids harassed me about. And it was something that I keep as a memory of why I help other people and why I spend so much time defending other immigrant populations, refugees, and people who have sort of, you know, been stepped on, and people who don't have a voice, because, you know, I was bullied all throughout my childhood, you know, at times because I was Asian, be the only Asian kid around, and the other times because I was the short, skinny kid that was kind of, you know, wimpy and weak. And so when I got older, when I became an adult, I made it my mission to look after other people, look after other people who get stepped on, who get bullied themselves.
This is my family photo album. So this picture is very important to me. From this picture, I was about 2 or 3 years old, really show, you know, where I had a very happy family before China's Cultural Revolution. About 50 years ago, you know, Chairman Mao, he launched Cultural Revolution. He mobilized tens of thousands of innocent college and high school students. They call them Red Guard. They use the political correctness to suppress opposition. Anybody who disagreed with their viewpoints got politically persecuted, and some were even lost their lives. My father was tortured. He endured public humiliation, you know, forced labor. He lost freedom for 5 years.
He went through horrendous challenge during China's Cultural Revolution. We don't want to repeat that again. We came here to pursue American dream, equal opportunity. Everybody can rise up if you work hard, be responsible, but that's changing.
American funding principles, there are many of them, but the rule of law, I believe, is most important, you know, in terms to secure and our American dream. After
2016, you know, end of 2016, a lot of Chinese Americans feel like, you know, we really need to get involved so that our values can be reflected. And so that's how, you know, people are looking for candidates. And very few people, almost nobody wanted to run because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of sacrifice. So I said, maybe I can try. And they checked on me. They feel like, wow, great.
So now we go to Okno.
Yeah.
Okno. Okay, get on board. Yes.
I think absolutely there are going to be more and more Asian Americans running for office in Texas. 2018 was the high point. We had 14 Asian Americans run for office in the greater Houston area, two-thirds of whom won. And that is phenomenal. They're all Democrats. I tell people all the time is Texas, in terms of the Asian American population, is where California was about 30 years ago. This state is going to be an Asian American political powerhouse. By the nature of my district, I am in very close contact with not just the Chinese, but with the Mexican consulate, with the Canadian consulate, with the, with the consulate from all over the world, because their people live in my district. Their people are here as refugees. Their people are here as HB1 or EB5 or whatever it is. Their people are here in my district, and they live and work here. And when they have problems, they come to me. And when they have problems, I reach out to the consulates and talk to the consulates and say, hey, this is what they need. Can you help them with this? That's part of my job.
I left China, very early on. I don't have any, connection with CCP, no. I was also endorsed by the Governor Abbott. I don't know whether you know that or not. it's all from a lot of Asian Americans as well as local, whoever, lives in Plano. But I do have a lot of Asian American supporters because they want to see Asian Americans running for office.
in a lot of my speeches, I say, if you're interested in running for office, come find me. And sometimes a lot of Asian American community members will actually say, hey, I know a kid, I know somebody who I think will be really good. Let me make sure that they get your number to call you.
And sometimes they just see you come, they are inside, they see you from the blinds, but they don't open the door. But it's okay. It is a participation of the democracy process. You have to get used to it.
Have you had good response? Nobody's been mean and ugly, have they?
Well, they'll say no. Sometimes people are polite, even if they don't like your candidate. They'll just deny you, but they wouldn't say something bad. But occasionally they'll yank on you. That's possible too, so it's fine. it's the greatness of America, democracy, really. In China, you don't do this. America is not a perfect country, but it's the best country in the world. Just look at how many people want to come here. All the children of the high officials, in China, they put their children come to America. So that tells you something.
I would like to have a Trump sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless. God bless America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you for doing this.
Yes. Oh, my name is Lily Bao. I serve you on Plano City Council.
Oh.
How are you coming?
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。